بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. We have completed the first sabak and we are doing it just in the summary of the first sabak. And the first point regarding the first sabak was to understand the importance of salah, and for that highly effective is the booklet of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, Fazail al-Salat, Fazail al-Namaz. And then secondly, to understand that salat is not a burden. It is an opportunity to gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point we discuss, what is concentration and devotion? And this is very, very important. And this is the crux of this entire kitab and this bayan. That minimum, at least first and foremost, to think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once in salat, that Allah is watching me. And then if a person can develop further, that in every posture of salat, to purposefully bring the thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. And at the same time, if further than that, if he concentrates on the meaning of what has been recited, it will be highly beneficial for his concentration. And where the occasions of blessings are mentioned, to have desire and make dua from your heart for those blessings, where those occasions of anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, to have fear within and to seek refuge from those things. Then the fourth point, یہ کہ نماز کی عظمت کو خوب سمجھنے کے بعد تمام آداب کے باچہ حقیقی کی قبولیت کے لائق ہے ان کو بجا لائے. The fourth point was that after we understand the importance of salah, then to fulfill all those requirements and requisites in order to make it possible for you to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your standing. In adab awal darja mein taharat aur pakizgi, out of the etiquette, the first and foremost is attaining of purity, aur dusra namaz ka tariqa yani wudu aur namaz ke fiqhi masail jo risala talim islam wagaira mein bayan kiye gaye hain. And second, the method of salat and the fiqhi masail pertaining to salah. This is also very, very important. We discussed this issue previously also, that unfortunately many times we in the tariq of tasawuf and suluk, but we haven't got inclination towards learning fiqhi masail. Before our mashayikh, before even taking bi'at to any murid, would see that the zahir of deen and the most important aspects of deen is known by him. Only after that would they allow a person to take bi'at at their hands. So to learn the fiqhi masail, and remember, as Shah Anwar Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that for the qubuliyat of an amal, a person supposed to know the fiqhi masail more than what he is supposed to know the fazail of an action. Today there is great emphasis in fazail, and that is good, because we haven't got inclination towards amal to create the fervor and the zeal. But it should not stop there. Unfortunately, our ilm has stopped to the extent of fazail. If you look at even if our kitabs, if the general layman reads, he might sit in kitab ta'alim in the masjid, he might sit for kitab ta'alim at home, or but there is no inclination towards masail, which is very, very important in a person's progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shah Arman Kashmir rahmatullah alayhi explained that if a person can have the fervor of doing an amal, so he has got an inclination towards doing an amal, so that prompts him to do the amal, but he does it contrary to Sharia, he is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas he might not know the virtue of that amal, he has got no awareness as to what is the virtue of that amal, but at the same time, he knows how to fulfill it, because he has done the fiqh masail regarding it. So that will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite knowing the virtue of that amal. So inclination towards this. And we mentioned, the Hazrat mentions that in our house ta'aleem, what the Fazail Kitab, it is imperative that at least for a few minutes, 5 minutes or so, that we make takrar and we go over fiqh masail also. This should be part of our ta'aleem. Just to recap, we mentioned this. One is that a kitab on fazail should be read. One is a kitab on masail. Then as it says, one book on sunnahs. So the fervor of complying with the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam remains alive all the time. That is, one is the sunnat kitab. And one is the kitab of seerat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This all should be in the constant mutala of a person. Constant mutala of a person. The seerat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And with that, Hazrat mentions one book on death. That at least so that the remembrance of akhirat is always in a person's mind. That doesn't mean now the ta'lim should be an hour or so. If a person just dedicates about 3 to 4 minutes on each kitab every night, that maximum 5 times 3 is about 15 minutes to 20 minutes, person should have ta'lim. But all, cover all these aspects, so that all these aspects remain in a person's life. So the, like we, mashallah, do fazail kitab at home, etc. in the masjid, we should try to even have kitab on ta'lim. Even for the ulama-i-kiram, that in the programs that we have in the masajids, etc., to have fiqh masail. And this Hazrat pays a lot of attention towards. In fact, a few times he asked me, even in the Jamia Masjid, is there any fiqh masail taking place? That if that is not in the programs of the ta'alim, then commence a masail on fiqh masail. Because the acceptance of amal is totally dependent on knowing the fiqh masail. Agar na malum ho, to pehle unko seekh le. If you do not know the fiqh masail of a certain action, then first learn them. Kha, jitne din usme lag jaye, irrespective of how much time it takes, taaki namaz, wudu ke tamam farayz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat, aur mufsadat, wa makruhat khoob pehchan le. So the person becomes totally aware of the farayz, wajibat, the sunan, the mustahabbat, and mufsadat, and makruhat. And I mentioned this point, that Mufti Abdullah Pulpuri, Daman Barakatuh, was here 2 years ago, and as very same member he mentioned, that the people that are in Tasawwuf are highly indebted to the Fuqaha, because the tartib of Suluk is according to what the Fuqaha have defined. One is my understanding of what is a tariq towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says we are highly indebted that the fuqaha have categorized that this is fard, this is wajib, this is sunnah, this is mustahab. So that we know that maybe unfortunately it can be that a person engages his entire life into a nafal act at the expense of a fard act, and he thinks this is the means of qurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The basis is the faraiz in a person's life. Then the wajibat, then the sunnah, then the mustahabbat. And then Hazrat also explains, he says the shaitan's one way is that he puts the direction of a person that's walking the path of suluk and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts his emphasis greatly on nawafil and mustahabbat. But he makes sure that his attention don't go to that which is farz and wajib, etc. For example, at times, maybe to give da'wah to somebody else, any action that has got to do with somebody else, generally the ulama have written it is in the darja of kifaya. It is kifaya, that means you are doing benefit to somebody else. So many times a person, when he sees, for example, the importance of the work of da'wah and tabligh, for instance, or sitting in the company of the mashayikh and kunum as-sadiqin. So he keeps that in mind, and that which is got to do with others, whether it is ta'alim of deen to teaching somebody else, is also kifaya. But now for that purpose, now he might put his wife in the shop. So he's understanding the importance of going for his chilla. He understands the importance of giving ta'alim of the ilm that he has learned. So he goes to the madrasa. But now, at the expense of committing a sin. So when he's thought, mashallah, I complete my chilla for the year. I sat for my chilla by the sheikh. I'm going to madrasa every afternoon. But then he's committing a haram act. So it is so important to understand the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabat, all the time. And this is the tariq towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ways towards Him. First Allah ta'ala mentions that if a person wants to gain proximity to me, he'll have to fulfill the faraiz. And then if you want to gain greater proximity, to engage in that which is nawafil. So that which is fard. Like many times, a person, we find so many individuals till now that have ability. They will wake up for tahajjud salat, which is nafal, irrespective of what fazail is written regarding it. The fuqaha have kept it in the darja of nafal. Sunan, if it is mentioned sunnah, that means the tariq of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in terms of categorization, according to fuqaha, is nafal. Awabin salat, or ishraq salat, is nafal salat. So a person might get up in the morning, read his tahajjud salat, then complete his wazaif and tilawat of Quran and Kareem. Then he reads fajr salat at home. And then he sets up right till ishraq salat. Even we might term him to be very, very pious, mashallah. This person wakes up irrespective of summer, winter, 3, 4 o'clock. And he sits right till ishraq. He never ever sleeps after fajr. And he's always up till ishraq. So that we might term as piety. But we as, if a person might have slept right till the time of Adhan, he woke up only Adhan time, and he went to perform Salat with Jamaat in congregation, which according to Hanafi Mastak is either Sunnat-e-Mu'akkada, Kareeb ila al-Wajib, or close towards Wajib, or Wajib. And he came home, and he slept away thereafter. In our thought, that person made so much Mujahada, but there is no comparison between the two. One person has fulfilled a Wajib act of Salat, and the other person is engaged in nawafil. In fact, just to explain this point, Mufti Abdullah mentioned also that on one occasion when the masla regarding witr salat came, and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi categorized it as wajib. So certain scholars of deen had objections regarding it. But if we do fiqh according to Aimma Italata primarily, the other Aimma, it is sunnat. I don't want to go into fiqh masla, but just to understand this point. So a person by the name of Abu Yusuf, also his name was Abu Yusuf, traveled a long journey to object to Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. How is it that you can make something compulsory? Fard, he used the word fard. How can you make something fard which is not fard in Sharia? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi first posed the question to you, that when did I say that witr salat is fard? So he says that what is your thought regarding witr salat? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said it is wajib. Then he asked a question, that what's the difference between fard and wajib? Like how we understand that both is compulsory. So he said, what is the difference in fard and wajib? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, al-farq bayn al-fard and wajib kal-farq bayn al-sama wal-ard. That is the difference. So that, although shar'an, it's a matter of proof, and the authenticity of the proof, and the type of proof to differentiate between fard and wajib. But can you imagine the difference between a nafal and a fard? A nafal and a wajib. What the major difference between that is? Mujaddid al-Millat Manashir Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, and Ghaliban Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullah alayhi has also mentioned this, that an entire life of nafal salat cannot equivalent to 2 rakats for salat. Whereas you think so much mujahada. But the categorization according to the fuqaha is a tariq towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore it is imperative to know what is fard, wajib, sunnat, mustahabbah. And we have to be very intelligent about shaitan. He will make your focus totally towards a nafal act, etc. at the expense of a fard act. So in the pathway of suluk, this is very, very important that we learn the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat, mufsadat, makruhat, who pehchan. And even this makruhat, we take it so lightly. That is makruh. It's not haram, isn't it? That's how we pose the question. What? Al-ashyau tu'rafu bi-azdadiha. Things are known by its opposites. So what does makruh mean? Makruh means dislike. What is the opposite of makruh? Mahbub. That is love. This is Hazrat Hakim Sahib's bayan. And mashallah, I had the opportunity in Madinah al-Munawwara to listen to this bayan of Hazrat Hakim Sahib in Madinah al-Munawwara. And there was a sati of a friend of mine that mentioned an incident later regarding this bayan of Hazrat. But anyway, fine, let's just get to the point what Hazrat was mentioning. So he said, as I mentioned in the bayan, al-ashya'u tu'rafu bi azdadiha. Things are known by its opposites. So he says, to understand makruh, first understand what is mahbub means. Mahmud means that which is beloved to Allah, that which Allah loves. So it means if a person engages in that amal, he will be like the Allah. That's why it is called mahbub. He becomes Allah's beloved. On the other hand, if a person engages in a makruh act, he is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is it possible that we engage in makruhat actions and hoping to get qurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we're hoping to get qurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not possible. So then this person, so it's certain things in the bayan, when a person listens with fervor, it just hits him. So this person then mentioned to me, he told me after some time, you remember Hazrat Bayan? So I said, yes, I remember Hazrat Bayan. He said, I was in the habit of smoking. This person is telling me. And according to the Arab ulama, it is haram. According to our mashayikh or ulama, primarily it is makruh. So I always thought of it that every Ramadan first, I try to give up every first few days, and I always fail. And after 6-7 days, I start smoking again. And then I made safar to Medina, because I knew Hazrat was there. So I thought, at the time Hazrat was very, very ill. So I thought it might be the last time we see Hazrat, etc. But anyway, I sat in his bayan. And when his bayan was continuing, I carried on asking my question. I left my shop, everything, my important engagements, and I've came all the way to Medina al-Munawwara. And now I'm listening to his bayan. And what is the purpose of going to the Shaykh, Kunum as-Sadiqin, is to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to get qurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to become Allah ta'ala's mahbub. When Hazrat explained what is makruh and to understand by its opposite, and I'm thinking to myself, how is it possible that I'm to get qurbat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm continuously engaging in that which is makruh, that is disliked by Allah, that will get me distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, from there and there I made intention to leave smoking because of this bayan of Hazrat, and alhamdulillah, years have passed and I haven't touched a cigarette thereafter. So when a person understands it this way, that this is a makruh act, and makruh act can't get me close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we take it very, very lightly. Unfortunately, this, at times these words, like we've got no thought about the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like for example, one person mentioned it's regarding a certain act, that he asks the alim whether this act is farz act, wajib act, sunnat act, makruh act. So a person said, no, it's not farz, it's sunnat. So it's only sunnat. So he said, yes, it's only sunnat, but your tone of saying it is only sunnat, that is of dalalat and total deviation. Your tone indicates to an extent kufr also. Your tone indicates kufr. That means you have paid no importance to the amal of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like it's insignificant, fine, I'll continue without it. I'll get along with it. Or without it. In the same way with makruh acts. That understand that through this, you are not going to get close to Allah ta'ala. You can't become Allah's mahbub if you are doing that which is opposite to the liking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is so important to understand the classifications. And we should understand why we understand the classification also. We shouldn't take a wrong benefit from our classification. For example, Mawlana Shafi Thani rahmatullahi alayhi writes regarding himself. He says, before we had knowledge, and we were still young, and we haven't come to the stage of studying fiqh kitabs, etc., then we understood that witr salat is 17 rakats. So that's what you learn in the madrasa. So I should make sure I perform all 17 rakats. Because I knew witr salat is 17 rakats. That's what the people taught us. Then I learned ma'ala buddha min in madrasa. And when I learned ma'ala buddha min, I realized, out of that is only 4 is fard, 2 is sunnah mu'akkada, 3 is witr. So 9 rakats if you suffice is fine. So he says, then I started performing 9 rakats. Because I became knowledgeable. Then I realized, is this the purpose of knowledge? So that your amal decreases. Because now you know the classification, so now you're leaving that which you are doing. He said, no, this is not knowledge. Knowledge cannot bring you to doing less amal. Knowledge, the purpose was to bring you to more amal. So Hazrat says, regarding himself, that then I realized, no, this is wrong, that I'm taking wrong benefit from ilm. I was performing 17 rakats all my life, now I'm performing 9 rakats. So even the classification, the knowledge regarding it is not so that we leave it out. That we, the purpose of knowing classification is, one is to get qurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand that which is the closest way. Remember, there is no closer way to Allah than faraiz first and foremost. Person can spend his whole life in nawafil, but he cannot get the proximity to that he can get to faraiz. So that is to understand how to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are all different ways, and although difference in importance, but at the same time, all this conglomerated collectively will get you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مستحبات مستحبات مقرحات خوب پہچان لیں تاکہ اسی درجہ میں ان کو ملحوظ رکھیں. So once you understand them, that you keep them in mind. یہ باتیں تو سلوک کو اختیار کرنے سے پہلے سیکھنی ضروری ہے. Before even we choose the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to learn these things, this categorization. Therefore, alhamdulillah, before even we do this kitab, we have fiqh masail. As I say, this is the purpose of it. This whole tartib has been thought out, that the fazail is done first, then the fiqh masail is done, then the jaan and the ruh of salat. But you can't have jaan and ruh without the fiqh masail. For example, a person is oblivious about his surroundings completely, and he's in such deep absorption in salah, but he omits a farz act of salah. Salah means? And he's telling you that I read a wicked salat. Those from England understand the word wicked differently from us. Wicked, we mean wretched. Wicked, they mean nice. So, it's amazing. Just an incident. We were in Jamaat, and there was a group of youngsters with us in Jamaat, and they were all varsity students from England, primarily. So, after Ishraq Salat, we were sitting for Mashurah. So, one brother from the varsity came and told Masaban to make Mashara with you for a few minutes. So I said, no problem. He says, you know, I read Tahajjud every day because we're in Jamaat and there's a lot of encouragement and emphasis. But normally because I'm so in a drowsy mood and there's no concentration whatsoever. This was in the 93, 94. So obviously the stem wasn't even on the tongue much. So he says, I read this morning Tahajjud Salat, what wicked concentration. I was baffled. What is wicked? First, to me, it's totally opposite things. Concentration, wicked. So it took me some time. First, I understand him. I asked him, what do you mean by wicked? He says, hey, absolute concentration. I said, okay, fine. So I said, then, so what is the problem? So he tells me, no, but only after Ishraq, I realized that I had a wet dream. So I said, that's the whole thing. Shaitan felt there's no need to disturb you in your salat, but your salat is not made at all. So you had absolute wicked concentration. It made no difference to your salat whatsoever. ہم نے احتیاطاً اس لیے لکھ دیا کہ بعض ذاکر شاغل حضرات کو اس کی طرف خصوصی توجہ نہیں ہوتی. صوفی اقبال writes that we have written this out of caution. Because many people that engage in dhikr and this tariq of tasawuf and this bi'at, etc., do not pay attention to the fiqh masail. Any mazkur bala faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabat ka namaz ke har rukun mein dhyan ratna tha. Namaz mein dil ki huduri kehlati hai. And this is highly effective in getting concentration on salat. Because to keep the faraiz in mind, the wajibat in mind, the sunnat in mind, mustahabbat, and to complete these things with concentration, this is concentration in salat. There's nothing more to it. With presence of heart to fulfill the faraiz, wajibat, sunnat, mustahabbat. Jiski ahmiyat Hazrat Sayyid Sahib rahmatullah alayhi ne bayan farmayi hai. And the importance of which Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned. اور نماز میں حضور قلب کا یہی مطلب حضرت مجدد الفتانی رحمت اللہ علیہ نے بھی بیان فرمایا. Because مجدد الفتانی رحمت اللہ علیہ, and we mentioned this previously also, what a مجدد, that they gave him the title, the reformer of the second thousand years. So can you imagine what depth of ilm he had? And he also has mentioned that huzur al-qalb, what is this presence of heart? We say you must have presence of heart in salah. You have to have concentration in salah. He says the concentration and huzur al-qalb is regarding these aspects of salah. The faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat. Be aware that you are performing it, know its regulation. At the same time, perform it with the thought that Allah is watching you. This is huzur al-qalb. It's nothing more than that. Chunache maktub banam, Hazrat Mir Muhibbullah Khalifa Khas, حضرت مجدد صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ بعد حمد و صلاۃ تحریر فرماتے ہیں. So on one occasion مجدد الفتانی رحمت اللہ علیہ wrote to his khalifa خاص محب اللہ, and he wrote to him this letter. First and foremost, he mentioned praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then durood to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he wrote to him a very important point. Janna chahi, khuda tumko seedha raaste dikhaye. A person should be aware, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is jumlah duaiya, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show you the straight path, ke namaz ka mukammal hona, aur uska kamal faqir ke nazdik, uske farayz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat ka ada karna hai, jisko kutub fiqh mein tafseel se bayan kar diya hai. Mujaddid al-Fitani rahmatullah alayhi is writing to him, that according to me, according to this lowly servant, that for a salah to be complete and a salah to be of perfection, it is imperative that the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat are completed, which are written in the fiqh kitabs. And in char umur ke alawa, aur koi amar aisa nahi hai, jis ko namaz ki takmeer mein koi dakhal hai. And besides these four things, there is nothing else that has a direct impact on the salat. So that means the fulfillment of this. So to become aware, when I'm making takbir tahrima, what is it in terms of the utterance is fard. The lifting of the hands is sunnah. The reading of thana is sunnah. The reading of ta'awud is sunnah. The reading of tasmiyah is sunnah. The reading of surah Fatiha, according to the Shafi maslak, it is fard. According to the Hanafi maslak, it is wajib. Joining of three ayat or a surah, what surah Fatiha is wajib. The ruku in itself is fard. The tasbihat of ruku is sunnah. The coma position is wajib. The tasbihat of coma is sunnah. To know all the categorizations. And just to do it with concentration. And I told you, concentration is not something very difficult. Just the thought that Allah is watching me. That is the starting point. My Allah is watching me. I am in ruku, my Allah is watching me. Jin ko namaz ki takmeel mein koi dakhal ho. Khushu in hi charo umur mein mundarj. Aur khudu un hi umur se wabasta hai. That concentration and devotion has got to do with these things. For the faraiz, wajibat, sunnan, mustahabat. And then he writes, aage chal ke likhte hain. And then he goes further by stating, la salata illa bi hudur il qalb. There is, the salat is not kamil, salat is not, it's not reached perfection, but with the presence of heart. And here also, we mentioned this, that Mawlana Shafi Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that for the qabuliyat of salat, khushu and khudu is a shart. But for the sihat of salat, khushu and khudu is not a shart. That concentration and devotion in order for acceptance of salat so that you can get reward is a precondition. But in order to get it absolved from your head and that compulsion does not remain, just the fulfillment of salat without khushu and khudu will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So la salata illa bi hudur al-qalb. Mein hudur al-qalb se murad umur mazkur char gana mein hudur al-qalb hai. That means to have presence of heart in these four aspects. Faraid, wajibat, sunan, mustahabat. Faraid, wajibat, sunan, mustahabat. And that is why many times when a person don't understand this, he becomes very frustrated that he is performing salat for so long and he tries. And because he has confused absorption and concentration, and he has not differentiated between these two important aspects, and he thinks what is matlub and what is required is absorption. Absorption is not required. That a person become oblivious of his surroundings, of what is happening around him. So now, for example, we are sitting and listening, but we are still aware of the sounds at the back. That is not against absorption, against concentration. Yes, if a person is absorbed in salah, probably he will not hear the sound at all. But that is not matlub, it's not even required. And that is a special gift that Allah Ta'ala gives to his special servants. So we shouldn't even bother regarding it. What we are mukallaf of, accountable of, is khushu and khudu. Complete the faraiz, wajibat, sunnat, mustahabbat, what hudur al-qalb. What is hudur al-qalb? That Allah is watching. Iske alawa aur koi hudur al-qalb fakir ko samajh mein nahi aata. Besides this, I, Mujaddid al-Fitani rahmatullah alayhi is saying, I do not understand anything as presence of heart. Namaz ka kamal unhi umur ka kama haqqahu adaigi hai. And the kamal of namaz, the completion of namaz is confined to these four things. Ke yahi namaz hai, this is namaz. Jo log uske alawa kisi aur cheez, mahviyat wagaira sa namaz ka kamal chahte ho, wo kamal namaz ko ghair namaz se talash karte hai. So the perfection of salat is confined to these four things. And if a person is looking for perfection from something else outside salat, but salat is what? Faraiz, wajibat, sunnat, mustahabat, to fulfill them. Then he's looking for something outside salat for salat. Magar in mazkur umur ko dil ki tawajjuh aur khayal ke saath ada ho jana ghafil kalb ke saath aur kalbi khushu ke baghair mumkin nahi. But at the same time he's emphasizing this point that we understand that it is evolves around the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat, but this cannot be done without presence of heart, without the heart being affected. And as we mentioned, for that, for the heart to be affected and the heart not to be unaware and to be disinclined, that therefore dhikr is required. But remember, dhikr is for in order to get presence of heart. Aur kalbi khushu kalb ke dhikr se mutaathir hoti hai. And concentration of the heart will help through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we have this poetry. It is not just for the sake of poetry that we have poetry at the time of dhikr. So that a subject matter is in front of you. And when a person concentrates on the subject matter, makes the dhikr accordingly with the subject matter in mind, this will help highly in developing the mind first and foremost. At the same time to attain concentration. That this is the subject that I have to think about while I'm making the dhikr of Allah. Like for example, we say, Dil mera ho jaye ek meydane hu, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu. Then oh Allah, make my heart an open field, and in this open field only be you be alone there, you alone and nobody else. So this is a subject to think about. And when you make a person making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove, the person says that even when making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the weaknesses that a person has, that remove them. So think about it and concentrate on it. It shouldn't be just utterance, your mind is somewhere else, you make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We wonder many times, people write to us and they say that we are making dhikr for such a protracted period of time, but till now there is no concentration in salat. The question is, you're not even concentrating in your dhikr, how can that affect you and how can it be as a means of gaining concentration in salat? When in the dhikr itself you've got no concentration. Now we think about it, Fajr time we made dhikr this morning. In the entire duration, did we have concentration or not? If we had concentration in the duration of 12 or 13 minutes, then to perform salat of 4 rakats for 5 minutes, it will be easy to control the mind. But when our mind is running away with us while making dhikr, it will be very, very difficult then to have concentration in our salat. So dhikr is to create that awareness that allows you to develop your mind. It is highly effective in developing your mind. For example, as it mentions, few mazamin that a person should make and think about when making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you say, La ilaha illallah. One is that generally, Hazrat Hakim Sahib mentions, that we should just swing to a certain extent towards the right. It's not a matter of moving the head, but just a slight swing towards the right. And it comes in the hadith also, that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, when they used to make dhikr, it was like the top of trees. That the movement of the top of trees. From that, as it says, that make the dhikr like that, that move towards your right slightly. And with illallah, then all the illnesses that you have, remove. With illallah, bring the opposite from the treasury of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connect your heart to the treasury of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if a person, first and foremost, kufr, shirk, bid'at, nifaq, these are things that are, without engagement in it, there's no iman. So to remove that, and with illallah to bring the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person has stinginess within him. That means those rights of sharia that are compulsory upon him, and he's not fulfilling those rights, to remove with la ilaha, with illallah to bring broadness within himself, to bring within himself the capacity, connect your heart towards the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, draw directly from the treasury of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, benevolence, big-heartedness, graciousness, kindness, compassion towards people, bring that. This is dhikr, to draw directly from the treasury of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person does that, see, just 5 minutes of dhikr is sufficient for reformation of a person. If a person concentrates in what he is supposed to ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person has ill temper, remove that. And with illallah, bring from the treasury of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala good character, a calmness within oneself. So everybody has different illnesses. So this dhikr program every day can be a reforming process for a person. If he just puts his mind towards it and he realizes this is an illness and I've accepted it's my illness, it's my weakness within, I do things for riyah, for instance. And everything is propelled by show. So remove this. and you acknowledge first and foremost as illness. And this is the way of reformation, acknowledgement of the illness. Unfortunately, we don't even acknowledge. So there, how can we even remove that illness? Now through dhikr, remove that. Wa la ilaha. That show, riya. Wa illallah, bring ikhlas. Wa illallah, bring ikhlas. So in this, a person's mind will also develop. You can think of something very, very specific. And therefore even mashayikh previously, amazing. In order just to create presence of mind and heart, they would ask the murid, what have you got most inclination towards? So a person in India in the village probably will say a buffalo. They will say, make muraqabah of your buffalo. Somebody will say, it is shirk. How can you make muraqabah of a buffalo? This was just in order to get some concentration of mind. So that he can think about something. And because he's inclined towards it, it will be very, very easy to think about. And the mind is like that. Many times you tell a person not to think about the thing, he will think about it. If I tell you, for example, now, not to think about the pink elephant, see where your mind went. It went towards the pink elephant. So the mind is like that. So if you utilize it to do a certain thing, inshallah, it will focus on that. Focus on that. Isi tarah namaz padne mein puri kamyabi unhi ko hasil ho sakti hai jin ke dil ko zikr shughal se kuch nisbat yaadash hasil ho chuki ho. And only that person will able to get concentration in salat, that his heart has been affected through zikr by now. And we see that, mashallah, we listen to this bayans, we immediately try to bring it in our lives, but not even 5 seconds go in the next salat and our mind is gone away. Because our heart is still not affected. And one of the reasons is that we are not making dhikr continuously. This is highly, highly effective in the path of tariq and suluk, and our mashayikh have given great importance towards this aspect. So inshallah, make niyat also that when we leave from here, that we establish majalis of dhikr in all our masajids. So this becomes a source of our own inspiration for us to sit, and especially if we initiate it, then it will be imperative that we is there every day. So at least it will look at, it will take care of our punctuality, first and foremost. Then the other benefits will come there later on of concentration, of devotion, getting qurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get itminani kalb, etc. So dhikr highly effective, every day inshallah, make niyat, and as I said, mentions it outside the boundary of the masajid, so nobody objects, etc., the method of zikr, etc., and in a silent way, complete the adhkar every day. And do that and see, inshallah, how you develop. And then the huzur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside zikr throughout the day becomes so easy. Then the barakat of that will bring sunnahs in your life immediately. Because you are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will prompt you towards sunnahs. Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. Thank you.